Our heart's desire is this, is that you would know Jesus more and I would know Jesus more in a way that would change us radically. And so before we weren't not doing that, but there's something scriptural about really pursuing God's heart and His presence in your life and in our worship. Amen? And so that's what we want. When we preach, when we pray, when we get together, we have small groups, we have discipleships, we want the presence of God to be in our midst, because when the presence of God comes in our midst, everything changes. You can be a church and not have the presence of God show up. You can be, oh, hold on. You can call yourselves a church. Let me rephrase that. My spiritual pappy would kick me in the face if I heard him say that. You can't be the true church of Christ without the presence of God there. This is what I'm saying. Amen? And so what our desire is to quit trying so hard and to try to die a little harder to God and His will for our lives. And so one of the best ways on my heart these days, and where the Lord is leading us, is this thing called prayer. Everybody say prayer. Oh, Lord, not yet another long, boring sermon about prayer. All I know is that this is that throughout the scriptures, God's people prayed and God moved. People got healed. The ground shook. You know what I'm saying? And so looking at our age and in our life as a church, like, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to know that they are literally having a conversation with the King of Heaven? Anybody? And so that's what we started on last week. And so the point of this is that I believe that God is calling us into this deeper heart of prayer. And last week we talked about this quote from Billy Graham that prayer has always been just conversations with God. And so so much of that is true. Like, we can conversate with the King of Heaven. Last week we talked about Revelation 4, this big God in the heavens with all this thunder and lightning and cherubim and holy, holy, holies and elders on their faces. Like, that God who created the quasars and molecules wants to conversate with you and speak to you. If that doesn't blow your mind, you need to check your faith. You need to check your faith. There's this quote by Corrie Ten Boom. It says, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Now, it seems like a silly analogy. She's a pretty hardcore sister. And so what we can say about this is, do you use prayer when everything falls apart and you got a flat spiritually and you need to get out the car and put it on and you need Jesus? Or is He literally the steering wheel that is leading you and guiding you everywhere you want to go and need to go? I should qualify that. Everywhere you need to go. And so, because one will be a life in this constant air of wind all over the place blowing you around and you just praying later to ask God to fix everything that's broken. But we know in prayer that God answers the prayer of His people. When they pray, He answers. When you ask things in His name, He answers. He moves. He sways your heart. A church that is not based and founded on prayer is powerless and weak and is thrown around like a wind in the sail. And so are believers. And so our heart's desire is to say, we probably would all admit, except for maybe a few of you who were born praying somehow, you were born in this posture, is that all of us need to grow in our heart of prayer. And the amazing thing is that as we've been talking about this text that we've been hitting on last week, where we started to jump into the Lord's Prayer, like the Lord teaches us how to pray. Everybody open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. As you're going there, Matthew chapter 6, and it's up here on the wall too, but I'm just going to paraphrase the little things that we talked about last week. So last week, as we were reading through this text before this, we talked about what it is to have a heart of sincere prayer and not about being some donkey that cares about everybody seeing you pray. That's right, I said donkey. And so as you pray, it's not supposed to be this manifested, look at me, I'm such a great prayer warrior. Your prayer is intimate between you and the Father, okay? And it's also not about mindless chanting, right? You can't say things enough and chant them in some regular form for God to hear you better or more. And there is a difference between mindless chanting and ceaseless prayer. There's a big difference. It's the heart. And so we talked about that. And we also talked about your Heavenly Father knows what you're asking for and what you need before you ever do it. And so we talked about a little bit of why then pray, because prayer is more than you just petitioning God. Prayer is you getting your heart straight and giving it to Him, coming into His presence and Him adjusting you. He's petitioning your heart to His will. He's commanding your heart to His will. And as we pray, God changes things. And if there is one thing, we're into restoration, we're in for heart of the broken, But I'm telling you, none of that happens unless we become people who have broken and dirty and scabbed knees from praying. Amen? So our text for today is this, is the Lord's Prayer, and it's one of the most widely known and abused texts in all of the Bible. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit today. We're going to read starting in verse 9. And why don't you stand and read this with me this morning? Let's honor God's word and just stand for a minute as we read this. Amen? So let's read together. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Amen. All right, have a seat. Boy, it reminds me of being back in Catholic high school. Amen. And so today we're actually only going to make it, if we get that far, through verse 9 and through verse 10. And next week we will cover through everything beyond that. And so here's the big idea for today, and this is what I want you to chomp on. Here's our big idea: is that true prayer lifts up the holy name of our Father and calls down His kingdom and His will into our lives. And so prayer, let me say it one more time, it lifts up the name of our Father because He is worthy to be praised and needs to be held holy in everything we do. But when we do that, then we call down God's kingdom in heaven and His will for our lives. And so that is the nugget that I want you to chew on this week and get a hold of. And so let's tear open this text, and we're going to start with verse 9. And so here we are. I'm going to start with this. Pray then like this. Stop. Okay, we're going to spend 3 weeks right here. Okay? And so here's the simple point is this. Unfortunately, the very text right before this talks about not having mindless chanting and chatter when you do prayer. And then people will say that, read it, exegete it, and then they'll break into this, and then they'll be like, okay, so pray then like this. Never in this text does Jesus ever say, this is exactly how you pray. Now, we use the Lord's Prayer in different things. I'll say it with my kids once in a while. It's a powerful thing, but there has also become this movement on the face of the earth where people think that you chant this in every certain time. And I know there are people in high church, low church, whatever, that really mean this when they pray, but most people I know just say this. Let's say the Lord's Prayer, and they miss it. God never commands you to pray this over and over, and this is your prayer. Nowhere. Because then it becomes this hypocrisy that Jesus just talked about earlier, that it's mindless chatting just to say it over and over and over and over again because the heart's wrong. Somebody could teach you a prayer. There's nothing wrong with reading a prayer, praying the Psalms, but your heart has to be in this. And so Jesus says, pray like this. This is what he's saying. Literally, it's how the Greek translates. Pray like this. He gives us a meaning. And so Brian Bell, he's a guy, he says, we don't hear the disciples asking the Lord to teach them to preach, prophecy, cast out demons, worship, witness, and find their ministry, start up home fellowships, grow a church, how to be a user-friendly church. But they ask him in Luke's account, in chapter 11 in Luke, the same account of the Lord's Prayer, they ask the Lord to teach them how to pray. They don't ask anything else. They ask, how, please, teacher, teach us how to pray. Why? Because this is exponentially important to their lives and to our lives. Nothing moves without prayer. Nothing changes in your heart without prayer. And you don't need to be a professional. You hear what I'm saying? I know that some of you, I don't want to make fun of you because I'll hurt your feelings, but you're like, I'm not praying around you guys because all you guys know how to pray. You just speak to Jesus like you would speak to me, and then but with a lot more reverence. Although you should have reverence for your pastor. You need to knock off your bad attitude, is what I'm talking about. Amen. So Jesus, and then just the point that Jesus says, pray like this when they ask him is this. It proves my point. The Lord knows how significantly important this is, and the Lord wants to teach you how to talk to him. This should encourage your heart as a new believer or a believer that's forgotten or someone that's not a believer yet. You should know that in God's grace, he wants to teach you how to talk to him. That should make you go, oh, yay, rejoice. And so all of this built-up garbage you have about not publicly praying and I'm nervous about praying and I don't pray enough, I want to beat myself up, I'm just going to give you permission right now. Here's my, here's my pastoral wand placing over you. Was that a magic reference? That's not holy in church. Oh, there it is. There it is. I got the head shake of disapproval. The Tinkerbell dust of holiness to give you. Here, get rid of all that garbage in your brain. Get out all your preconceived notions of prayer and what you're bad at, what you're good at. Get it out of the way, and I'm asking you, I'm begging you through the Holy Spirit to allow this thing to penetrate your brain, that it is conversations with the King who loves you, died for you, and wants to teach you how to become a person of prayer. Amen? So look at your neighbor and say, you got permission. Get that junk out of your head. All right, hey, be loving. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Come on. All right, so here's the next point of this. And so pray then like this. And then the next thing I want to stop on is he says, our. Our Father who's in heaven. I just want to stop with the word our. Do you think for a minute that in Jesus, and this is the beautiful thing about this prayer, there is so much theologically deep, rich, helpful stuff in these few words that if we would open our hearts, the Lord is just pouring into us. In this prayer, he starts with this thing called our. Why is our significant? What's our? It belongs to all of us. You want to know a really good cure for loneliness, feeling like you're abandoned, is that if we would pray in his way that he calls us to pray, the very first phrases out of our mouth are, our Father, our. I am a part of something today that exists in the basements of Chinese house churches that is going on right now for the kingdom of God in Taiwan, in Nepal, in Canada, the holy ones, right? South America, and people who have died for generations before us living in Jesus' name, we are a part of a we. And this is another thing that you have to get around your head. Some of you are like, well, I go to church and I need. Nonsense. To be a believer and a follower of Christ Jesus means that you are a part of his story and his family. So when the Lord begins to pray, he's reminding of us in this teaching is that our. So when you're a single mom, you are a part of an hour, right? If you are a widower, you are a part of an hour. If you are just a lonely man or woman that's single looking for the desires of your heart, you are a part of an hour. And the more you get in your brain that you're a part of an hour and that you're a part of a family and that you're a part of God's holy church, the more the Lord just begins to penetrate you with his love through people and through this. And so when we pray, it's not just about you, it's about us, right? When you're praying, it's about us. When I'm praying, it's about us. We are a collective. We are like the spiritual Borg. You are two of seven. Hardly anybody gets that reference. All right. I just nerded that up all over the place. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one member suffers, all suffers together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. That takes place also in our prayer. Amen? We're a family. Look at your neighbor and say family. Amen. And so the next part of this, so he goes on from our, and then he says, our Father in heaven. There are very few things in this world that make me want to cry and just become a ball of mush as when I read this and get this. Our Father. And so many of you, in your confusion, in your prayer, you mess up some things, and I mess up some things too. And it's, we are supposed to be reverent to this Father God, right? Like this God, this one who created the heavens and the earth, the one with lightning bolts and thunder and crashing and all these kind of things, right? We're supposed to be reverent, but you use reverence as a buffer to prohibit the Father heart of God. And so when we pray, we are not petitioning, oh, Smitey Smiterton in the sky, please don't wreck me. We have a healthy fear, but now as believers and as followers of Jesus, when we pray, we purposely go before our Father, our good and heavenly Father. Everybody say, heavenly Father. Jesus only addresses the Lord as Father, and he does it 60 times in the New Testament. Every time he talks about God, his Father, he uses the words Father. Now, you have to understand that that's not just happen chance. Jesus is passionately connected to his Father. But the Scriptures say that now through Christ Jesus, not only am I saved, but now I'm an adopted son of God. And when I pray, I am not petitioning something that I can't relate to. I'm actually petitioning my Holy Father. And I just contradicted myself by saying petitioning. Notice that? I'm just checking your theology to make sure you're okay. Here, John 1:12 says, "But all who did receive him, who all believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And that word Abba, as many of you know, means daddy. It means daddy. I think about when my little girl, my 3-year-old, or one of my other kids come to me and they say, "Daddy," it's because there is an intimacy between her and between me. She knows that she can come and speak to me in a way and ask me for things, and I actually want to answer her. I don't give her everything she wants, right? But I give her what she needs. And when I hear daddy, like I'm in the shower in the morning and I'll hear these little footsteps running across the door, and she's circling, waiting for me like a shark. She sits out outside the door and then she's like knocking at the door this morning. "Daddy!" I'm like, "What?" I got to wash my hands. And what that means was she wants to be with me. She wants to be where I am. And she knows that if she asks, that I will try to give her what's on her heart. And so that's a difference between petitioning the God of Smitington and your Heavenly Father. Everybody say, "I got it." I don't know if you got it. So here's the deal. Can everybody call God Father? No, there's this heresy that goes around that all of creation is children of God. That is not true. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that only men and women who have given their lives to Him and they are become adopted sons and daughters are really the children of God. People who don't know Jesus are a part of God's creation. They are not a part of God's family. And you have to understand that. You have special access. This isn't something that you got to break walls through. If you're a true believer and follower of Jesus Christ, you have the Father's love. His name is now your name. His presence is for you. His life is for you. The Scriptures say that we share in His inheritance, and the inheritance of Jesus, that is home. That is our Father. That is where we reside with our Daddy. And when we pray, we are speaking to my Father. Now, some of us have deep disconnection on this. And I'm telling you, maybe you shouldn't continue praying for a billion things until you pray and chase after His heart for this. Lord, show me Your Father's heart. God, I had a horrible dad, or I didn't have a dad, or my dad was absent, and I know that's not You. And so you have to start walking in faith. You have to start transposing what you've been given to what the Scriptures say is true. You need to plead with the Lord. Maybe that's your prayer for the next month. God, I don't want to leave here until I know that I'm speaking to a Father who loves me. And for those of you who have good daddies and had good godly men in your family, you should praise God, because everything good about them is a resemblance of King Jesus. Amen? And so when we come to our Father, it's rejoicing in praise, and it's asking Him, "Lord, please," and I have to do this a lot, "God, show me Your Father's heart. God, what is it that I'm a child?" There's this quote by J.I. Packer. Many of you have read the book Knowing God. It's quite face chompy. Let me read it for you. It says, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not a thought that prompts and controls his worship and his prayer and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctively Christian as opposed to merely Jewish, is summed up in the knowledge of fatherhood of God. Father is the Christian name for our God." I think that's a big issue for me, and I think it's a big issue for a lot of you, is that our understanding of our Holy Father is tied to what we know and see. And the problem with that is that there's a real Heavenly Father that wants to break through and show you what a good, good Father is. When was the last time you prayed that? When was the last time you begged the Lord to break through in prayer, to fill you with the fullness of Him, that you would understand that you have a Heavenly Father? I hope you're praying that. And so for us, here's the challenge. It's childlike prayer. Like, what does the Scripture say? When we come to a father, not only are we addressing a father, but what is it about Naomi, besides she's so stinking cute and blonde cute, whatever she is, pukey cute, I call her sometimes. What is it about her when she comes and asks me that what is it? What is it intimate about that? It's childlike love. Listen, Matthew 18, 2 through 4, and calling to him a child. This is Jesus. He calls over this kid, and he puts him in the midst of them. He said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Well, what was key about this child? We've talked about this before. What's key about a baby coming to a father? Well, there's a few things. A good father, number one, there's trust, right? I told you, like, when Gnomes, like, jumps off the top stairs and I grab her and hopefully not drop her, she trusts me. The question is, when you go to the Lord in prayer, do you really trust him? Don't give me your church answer. I want the answer of your heart. Do you really trust that God knows how broken your heart is, how heavy you are, how disconcerting, whatever it is you are, do you really trust the fact that your Heavenly Father really loves you and hears you and knows you? If not, start to pray that way, that he would show that and break that in you. Number two, faith. Actually believing that not only does he hear you and that you could trust him, but he actually will move. Do you really believe when you pray, even in God's name, do you really believe? This is what I'm saying. Do you really believe that when you pray, God can and will literally move in his will in your heart and in your life? If the answer is, and this is where you got to be honest as a believer. Being a real believer of Christ is being more honest with yourself and the Lord than anybody else, right? Be real with him. This is about honest prayer. God, I don't know when I ask if you're really going to do any of this, because da-da-da-da-da-da, and just allow the Lord to start penetrating your heart. And then the last one is boldness. The scriptures say we can boldly come to the throne in God's grace. Amen? Do you know what boldness is? Boldness is a three-year-old banging on a door. Daddy! I brush my teeth! Boldness is that we are so confident in our relationship with the Lord that we know not only can we be there, but that we're supposed to be there in his presence, and we can ask boldly. I would love the Lord for God to fill his Holy Spirit in this church so we could change nations. Do you think for a minute that expectant prayer in me is like, oh God, do you think you could come today and maybe fill this place and change some lives? I know you're busy. But no, I want him to fill this place. He can and does and will from the beginning of time do what he says he's going to do. And I believe in that God. I'm not skittish about my asking. And if I'm wrong, he will correct me. But I will love his correction. I want God to move. Do you want God to move in your house? Do you want God to heal your marriage, your anxiety, your brokenness? Ask boldly. You have a father that wants to hear you. This is what it is to pray like a child. To pray boldly and with trust and faith that your Heavenly Father wants to fill and wants to answer you. Are you going to get everything you want? Even in there, there's a blessing with you not getting what you want. Amen? And then he moves on to this. He says, our Father who is in heaven. Why in the text is it important to talk about he who is in heaven? I just kind of come up with a couple things. Number one, reverence. Everybody say reverence. So when I'm praying to this one, I'm not praying to Jesus, my homeboy. And I'm not talking to Jesus, my co-pilot, right? Those need to be burned. And if you have any of those shirts or bumper stickers, burn them. And so we're talking to our Father, a friend. We're a friend of God, the scriptures say. But we need to remember when we pray that there needs to be a very good amount of reverence. And so last week we talked about that God sitting on the throne. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. The Lord says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts from your thoughts. Reverence when we speak to our Father in heaven. Amen? And then the other part of this is for power. And this is just me going off on my charismatic upbringing. I don't even have a charismatic upbringing. It's starting to well out in me. And I mean, there's a good thing in charisma. But this is like power. When I pray to heaven, I'm praying to heaven. You know what I'm saying? Holy, holy, holy power, the place where God is, where God resides on his throne. So when I pray to that, again, I'm not doing this pansy prayer, not to offend anybody, but I've prayed pansy prayers before, but I am praying to where there's power. There is power, amen? Every time I pray to heaven, every time I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm calling on a power that resists, that resides in the heavenlies, not on earth. Do you think there's any power on the face of the earth that we could pray to or look to? Hope our next president will finally be the one to change everything, amen? I'm not sure why you're clapping. I'm a little thrown off by that. But there is no power in any politician or government that can change our world. Amen? It's only the power of heaven by anything happens. Amen? And so, by the way, it's where you reside. It's where your power comes from. We come from the power of heaven, and He comes down through us in His Holy Spirit. Okay? And so this next part is key for us. And then it says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." What is it about God's name that needs to be hallowed? We'll talk about what's hallowed. I celebrate Halloween on October 31st, right? Here's some things. God's name in the scriptures are not like your name. God's name are God's characteristics of who He is. So when we hear God's name, even when Yahweh, every name of the Lord is describing Him. And so as we look through the scriptures, number one, Elohim means God the Creator. He's called Elohim, the Creator. El Shaddai, the God Almighty of blessings. Jehovah Jireh, He is called Jehovah Jireh. They proclaim Him Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who provides. Jehovah Nisi, He's the God of my victory. I need that. Amen? I need to like jump around with some Jehovah Nisi in me this morning. Amen? So the scriptures say that God's name is Jehovah Nisi, which means He is the God of my victory. Some of y'all need to just write that on something. Amen? All right, Jehovah Shema, the God who will never leave me nor forsake me. Shema means won't leave me, the God who will not leave me. That is His name. Also, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Everybody say peace. Moving on. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Everybody say healer. Jehovah Roy, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jehovah Ezer is the Lord our helper. And there are many, 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 many I missed. And so when we call upon the name of God and we pray in the name of God, we are praying not to just names of God, but these are His characteristics. And so what does hallowed mean? Does anybody know what hallowed means? Hallowed. Hallowed. Right? What does hallowed mean? Holy. Amen. It means sanctified. It means holy. Okay? And so here's a problem, though. People read this as this. They think it says, hallowed is your name. That is not what the text says. The text says, hallowed be your name. There's a difference. You hear what I'm saying? The point is, we are, when we're praying, Jesus is saying, praying like this, don't just proclaim God is holy, but He is saying, make God's name holy. That is what the prayer is in the middle of this. And so, God, make your name holy. It's not just a proclamation. When we pray, we are to call down God to make His name holy everywhere and anywhere we go. You hear what I'm saying? Hallowed be your name. So when I pray to the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, make your name holy in my fill in the blank. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? Hallowed be your name. Be it where I go. Wherever I go and represent you in the world, may your name be holy as I represent you. Hallowed be your name in my mind, in my heart. Whole prayer. This is a prayer to open your heart and to open your life, to ask God to be holy in you. You want to know where the big problems are, the world are? It's not on the news. It resides in your heart. When we say, hallowed be your name in me, we are saying, God, I want you to take over. I surrender. Be at the forefront. Be holy in my mind. Be made holy in my heart. Be made holy in my mouth. Ouch. Be made holy in this nonsense idolatry I worship, and be made holy in my anger, and be made holy in blah, blah, blah. You fill in the blank. This is a plea for God to come and be made holy in every part of your life. Lord, when I go to work, hallowed be your name, which means, Rob, shut it and follow me and do what I want you to do. Bring, when you represent the hallowed, you are the part of the hallowed name of Jesus t-shirt. You should get that shirt on, right? When you walk in the door, your prayer every day, and this is a daily prayer, is God, may your name be made holy in every step, every thought, every place, every parenting. And this isn't proclaiming, God, you're holy in all my parenting. How many of you would be heretics if you said that or liars? This is asking Him to be made holy. This is a prayer of faith. God, be made holy in the things that I am broken in today for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. J.C. Ryle said this, by the name of God, we mean all those attributes which he has revealed to us. His power, his wisdom, his holiness, his justice, his mercy, his truth. By asking that he may be made hollow, he may be hallowed, we mean that they may be made known and glorified. The glory of God is the first thing that God's children should desire. It is the object of one of our Lord's own prayers. Martin Luther says in his Greater Catechism, he says, how is it that God's name is hallowed amongst us? It happens when our life and our doctrines are truly Christian. When we truly live for the kingdom of God, we begin to hallowed be God's name. You have a part in it, but you also need to beg God to come and make his name holy in your life. It's your job. The glorification of Jesus should be the top priority in the heart of every believer. Now you'll say, well, I get off. Sometimes I get angry. I'm too busy. I know. I'm the same way. This is why we're believers. This is why we're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why prayer is so vitally important. Because if you know that, why keep going in day after day after day after day after day, forcing the envelope without hitting your face and praying and say, God, your name is not being made holy when I am on the internet in the middle of the night. Your name is not being made holy when I'm filled with an anxiety and I start to scratch out at everybody. God, make your name holy in here. It's a request. And you better have the faith and the heart to know that the Lord, you want to talk about prayers that Jesus answers? Everything that's in his will, I guarantee you he wants his name to be holy in your heart and in your home. Amen? Verse 10, we'll move on to verse 10. And then it says this, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what does it mean when you talk about his kingdom? Now, in Scripture, the word for kingdom, you could talk about kingdom. So Buckingham Palace, you know, the queen of England, right? She reigns. She is queen over the UK, right? And so it talks about this area that she lords over. And there's different names for this kingdom thing. But in Scripture, that literally means, when we talk about the God's kingdom, it means his reign, big R. I don't know if you can say that, big R, but everything God is over is in his kingdom. You hear what I'm saying? Everything in the heavenlies, everything on earth, all these things, God's kingdom, it's his reign. When he has reign, it means he's sovereign over. He is over all of these things. When we talk about God's kingdom, we're not just talking about I remember one time when I was a kid, this is the craziest thing in the world, and maybe you'll start to understand why I'm a little wacky. But one time when I was in preschool in California, that's from Lutheran school. Who knew? I don't know. And so I was there, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, I saw this kid looking up in the sky. And I remember it like yesterday. I forget about it in chunks sometimes. But I looked up, and I swear to you, and other people standing around, that there was this castle of clouds in the sky. And I'm not talking about like goofy 3-year-old, 4-year-old with an imagination. I mean, there were like clear pillars. And I looked up and I thought I was crazy. But then when I looked around, like other people were staring up into the sky at the same thing. I never understood what it was. To this day, I don't know what the Lord was doing. And I was like, well, maybe that's God's kingdom. God's kingdom is just up in the sky. But God's kingdom is God's reign. Matter of fact, where you go, if you are a follower of Jesus, the reign of God, the kingdom of God resides in you. In these seats this morning, the kingdom of God is sitting there listening to some goofy-looking preacher. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're the kingdom of God. And then question them about that. Here's a problem for me and for you. Is that because of that, though, in mind of that, we become double-minded. Some of us forget that our citizenship is in heaven and with the Lord and instead of this world. Hear what I'm saying? Some of us have forgotten or don't know that I'm a part of a bigger kingdom, God's reign, than the one I live in. If you have local stuff that you deal with and you're dealing with your problems and your issues and you don't baptize your brokenness over the fact that you are part of the kingdom of God and that you are heavenly, your life will continue to be very, very difficult. There are these things called hopeless-looking Christians. Hopeless looking Christians are people that have forgotten that they are not a part of this world. They are a part of God's reign, His will in heaven. They are a part of something supernatural and is bigger, and we all do this. We all get into a funk where we watch the news and you're dealing with all your brokenness at home. You have an anger issues. You forget that you're actually a citizen of heaven. May your kingdom come, Lord. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. When you pray this, you are literally praying. You are rearranging your zip code. You hear me? May your kingdom, God's kingdom, come down. God, I am being faithless today. May your kingdom come in my heart, Lord, because I am a member of heaven. Amen? So there's three parts to this. And so when we're praying for God's kingdom to come, I was thinking about this last night as I was finishing up. And what are these ways? And I've identified these three things. Number one, when we're praying for God's kingdom to finally come down, there's this verse in Matthew 25, 31 through 34 that says this: when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So one thing is, when we're praying for the kingdom to come, and I've studied this a lot and read a lot of scholars, like, one of our prayers is for God to literally come. Come, Jesus. I don't know how many of you pray that, but I don't know how many of you pray, and I don't mean selfishly, but when the kingdom of God comes, when Jesus finally, in the final kingdom come, in the final kingdom come, you and I are made perfect. You and I will finally be free of all of our garbage. You and I will finally be free of all of this expectation, all of my mental illness, all of the brokenness, all the worry about my kids, all of my longing for something better will be done in 1 minute. You better believe your backside that we should be praying for God's kingdom to come. Well, now let me say this. People are like, well, there's too many people that don't know Jesus yet, and we don't want Him to come right now. Yes, and what are you talking about? You hear what I'm saying? Yes, that's true, and you are off your rocker. And let me explain that. We want Jesus to know, but He is sovereign over all this. And He's not coming back until He has made sure that His agenda is fulfilled on the earth. It's not like you're going to pray and God's going to be like, "Oh, Jenny prayed for me to come today. Forget those people. I'm coming down. I love Jenny. I'm going to answer her prayer." God is sovereign over it. But when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we are reassessing and moving our address back to our hope. And our hope is that one day I'm not going to be like this anymore. One day we will not fight through what we're fighting through right now. One day all of this stuff will be gone and there'll be nothing but glory in God's purpose in my life. You need to be praying for God's kingdom to come. Amen? Number two, the kingdom come in my life. Like I've said 50,000 times already this morning, may you be the only king of my life and may I be your soldier, God. How many of you pray that way? Lord, I want your kingdom to come in my life to where not only am I a part of it, but I am an actual integral part of the process. Lord, may your kingdom come in Rob Dan's this morning. Everything that is in the kingdom of darkness that is fueling in my brain and in sickness and all of these things, God, may your kingdom come and transplant it in my heart that is not in allegiance to you, because we are called to be His followers. Take up your cross and follow me are marching orders for people who are in the kingdom of God. Amen? And so, Lord, we want you to come back. And, Lord, we want you to come true in my life. And, God, if there's any other kingdom that has a hold of me, if there's the kingdom of my flesh, the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of this world, there's any other kingdom in me, God, purge it with your kingdom. Get it out of me. I want to be yours and only yours. Amen. And we also want the kingdom to come to the world around us. You know what I want for ISIS? In my flesh, I want them all to die and be bombed and stop messing with us. You know what happens when I pray in the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God? I want them to be a part of the kingdom of God. You want to talk about the glorious testimony of the Lord? How about a guy that beheaded some Christian brother on the beach, 6 months later gets touched by the Holy Spirit, and then he becomes a believer and he's in heaven with the same guy he chopped the head off of, and they're rejoicing, praising God all at one time. I don't care what your affiliations are as an American or as a Republican or a Democrat or a human. What I want to know is, where is the kingdom of God rooted in your heart where you want people who are evil to know Jesus and be a part of the kingdom of God? Because you were evil. You were guilty of the same thing. Sin separates us from God, and in His grace, drug dealers, soccer moms that are angry, whatever it is, God's grace came over you, set you free. We should pray for the kingdom of God. Do you realize that that's what we're waiting on? Scripture says that the Lord doesn't want it. The Lord tarries because He wants everybody to know so they could be a part of the kingdom of God. We should be praying for the nations. We should be praying for people in Ecuador to know Jesus. We should be praying for drugs and drug dealers and pimps and hookers downtown to know the Lord. We want everybody free in the kingdom of God. The question is, are you asking for it? Because the scripture also says you have not because you ask not. Following me? Amen. We need to cry out. And then it just around the corner says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I feel like such a hypocrite sometimes. Because in my mind and in my heart, the real desire of my heart is that God would be glorified in everything I do. Unfortunately, I get in the way. It really is the desire of my heart for God's will to be over everything. The good thing about that in grace is that He knows what a wreck you are. But He has also asked us to pray for His will to trump everything in our lives. For those of you who keep running back to sin over and over again, how many of you are really praying, God, fix this? Are you praying for God to fix it and take it away from you? Are you praying that God's will would become your will and that His will would come in your life and that would take priority? Because when God's will takes priority and you push your life to God's will in your life, everything starts to break. And the scriptures say, nothing given up on the face of this earth will not be rewarded in the heavenlies. Nothing we give up, anything you say no to. When you say no, the devil flees from us. When we ask, this is a prayer, God, may your will be done. And this is the heart's cry, the only heart's cry for a follower of Jesus is, Lord, make your will be done. Your will be done in my life. Make your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of us can be real with ourselves and say that we're really praying that way? Really, God, your will. And you'll be like, well, I've got the 8 out of 10 categories where God's will can just reign over. Oh, yeah? What about the other two? Because we know when the Lord talked to the rich young ruler's like, man, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I got this, and I got this. Just tell me what it is to follow you. And Jesus knocked in and opened the doors of his heart and pointed at the thing that he didn't want God's will to be in charge of. And he says, guess what, brother? Good. Son, give me that. Leave your stuff. Come follow after me. Jesus is inviting him. Come follow me. Come on. Be a part of this story. And the guy couldn't because it was his will be done and not Jesus' complete will. Some of us hide behind our 8 or 9 out of 10 will-giving scenarios in our life. Let me tell you this. God is far more invested in getting to the one that you don't want to give up in your will. And you all need to identify that, including myself. Well, I go to church and blah, 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 blah. God's will for some of you is, God's will is for you is to come and to grow more and to sacrifice your time. Like one day a week, that's it. You're going to give God a couple hours on Sunday and not be a part of the body of Christ or be disciple or anything. That is your will. That's not His will. Well, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep looking at these inappropriate things online because, man, I just feel lonely or my wife's not, blah, 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 blah. Your will, not His will. What is it in our lives? Because if you don't pray this, if you don't want it. But to pray the kingdom of God down in your life, it is to say, God, to be real with God, here are the things that my will and your will don't match up in. And Lord, I want your will to come. Your will be done on earth, in my home, in my heart, in my church, in our lives, in our neighborhoods, as it is in heaven. Amen. David says this in Psalms 40, verse 8. He says, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is written in my heart. Spurgeon says this about this issue. He says, he taught us this prayer, used it himself in the most unrestricted sense. When the bloody sweat stood on his face and all of the fear and trembling of a man in anguish were upon him. He did not dispute the decree of the Father, but bowed his head and cried, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." So when Jesus is in Gethsemane, the night he's going to be crucified, turned over to be crucified, he has this prayer, and we see the human side of Jesus where he calls out to his Father and he says, "God, take this chalice, take this cup of wrath from me. Is there any other way? God, please take this from me." But as he prays, he's praying. This is the catalyst. The Lord is praying to his heavenly Father, "Lord, take this from me, take this from me. It's not my will. My will doesn't match up. Is there any other option?" And then you can see like this, you could just see Jesus like this. Peace from the heavens fits into his heart. And all of a sudden he says, "Lord, if not, then may it be your will, not my will." And Jesus goes to the cross. Some of us need to get real honest with Jesus and the Lord in our prayers and say, "God, is there any, you want me to go through cancer? I don't know if I can. You want me to go through losing my kids? I don't know if I can. You want me to go through giving up my stuff and my time? I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I want to." And be really earnest with the Lord in the prayer, but in the middle of it, because you have to know in faith that whatever he is doing, he is going to bring for your good and for his good and for the church's good. You can be honest with him, but in the end, the heart of your prayer needs to be, "God, whatever it is that you will, this hurts. But I know and I trust you in your glory that your will be done in this situation as it is in heaven." And then what happens? Scripture says when we're faithful with little, the Lord begins to open up doorways of new faith and new mercies and new life. And some of us are like giving God like these 9/10 will situations when the explosion of faith and things to come in God's presence is residing in the one. Because God wants all of it to be his will. That is what it is to be a soldier in the kingdom of God, is that everything and anything is his will be done on earth, in my home, in my broken mind, as it is in heaven. Now listen to this for a minute. Listen to the prayer. Let's just talk about this again. Let me give our big idea. True prayer lifts up the holy name of our Father and calls down his kingdom and his will into our lives. Stand up for a minute as we pray this together. I have to repent every time I study through this text because I will just say it mindlessly. But if you go through everything we just talked about, this is like the sovereign God of heaven teaching you how to pray. And it should reveal a lot that there's more to this than just some mindless chatter. Amen? Let me read this again. Our Father, our Father, who resides in heaven where the power and the God of heaven resides, hallowed be holy in every part of my life and in this world. Hallowed be your name, the God of the scriptures, the Elohim, the one who is Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, the holy God of heaven. May your name be made holy. May your kingdom, your righteous reign come over everything. May your will be done, and may you have all of your will be over all of my will on earth, in my life, in our church, in our children, as it is in heaven. Do you see the depth of this text? I just want to pray this together piece by piece. And so I'm going to say a part, you repeat it, and then I just want you to meditate on that for a second, okay? Our We are a family. Our Father. Say it, our Father. Ask him to show you his Father heart. Every single one of you have a loving Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven just see him on the throne. All of that lightning and the angels singing his name. Say this with me. Hallowed be your name. Now listen. What you just ask is that the Lord would be made holy, his name, in your life. Open the doors right now. Open the doors. Tell him to come in with his holiness to every part of your life right now. God, make your name holy in us. Everything that is not holy in us, Lord, we invite you right now to come and make us holy. May your name be lifted up in my secrets, in my pride, in my life. Say this with me. Your kingdom come. Invite the Lord's reign to come into your heart right now and your life. His reign. He is the boss. Just see yourself in front of a throne with a king and just bow at your knees to this king and ask him to come. Say this with me and say this cautiously. Your will be done. Open the floodgates of all the things in your life that are about you and not about his will, and ask him to come and demolish them. This is a revival in your heart today. And Lord, I pray right now specifically over people that are having a hard time with that. God, break through. God, break through by your Spirit. Some people need to come in deep, full confession to you first today and lay down these foolish things that are bringing separation. They don't have to fear. They can let go. God, break through. May your will be done over everything in my life. Tell him. Say this with me. On earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that's our prayer today. Lord, we pray this. I pray this over all of our friends, all of our family in this room, all of these sheep of yours, God. God, I pray for a revival in our hearts and in our church. God, we praise you, number one, that you are teaching us how to pray. Lord, we can lay down all of our worries, all of our, I don't know how to talk to this big God in the sky because of what you are teaching us, Lord. You are calling us to conversations with a king, our king. And so, Lord, we come. You are our Father in heaven, and we have a different zip code. We are people that are a part of an eternal order of believers that are free from the curse and death of this life. We have a Father who loves us graciously, and I pray that your Spirit would come over all of us this morning that are having a hard time receiving the Father heart of God. And Lord, may you bring with your fullness according to your riches in heaven, the fullness of the Father's heart to every one of these beautiful daughters of yours this morning and all of these mighty sons that they would know. I don't mean just know with their mind, but they would know and receive in their spirit that they are a child of the living God. And that trumps every piece of brokenness and identity that they have. God, you are our Father. Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Elohim. May you be holy in every part of my life, every part of this church. We proclaim it in this neighborhood that your name would be made holy. We proclaim it in this state that you would be made holy, this country and the nations that this would be a holy land. Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, and I just pray that you would not let us have a moment of peace for those of us who have a 1 out of 10. Some of us have a 5 out of 10 will-keeping issue from you, and I pray today was the day that they surrender. God, may that be here on earth. God, may this church, may our homes, may our prayer closets, may our families be this, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. God, fall on us today.